I'm surprised Mike Rogers is not on an island in Tahiti somewhere, because it's just crazy times in Washington, D.C. Mike, how are you?
I am doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you in Michigan or D.C. this morning?
Well, unfortunately, I start out in D.C., but I will be in Michigan later.
All right, get out of there before that hurricane hits.
I got to tell you, it's been crazy. We were in the intelligence spaces, the ranking member, the Democrat, who is my ranking member on the Intelligence Committee, were both down in the spaces, and it's been just a crazy week. But we argued that we finally, you know, we all agreed on something, and a Republican and a Democrat agreed, and the whole place started shaking.
So that's why we have hurricanes and earthquakes.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, I want to get your take on what's happening in Libya.
Yeah, well, it's now it's just a matter of time. There are still pockets where the regime is in control and has the military forces capable of defending themselves in what area they possess. It appears to me that they're consolidating their forces, and there's two different folks who are wearing that uniform: the hardcore regime protection type forces that were very, very loyal to Gaddafi. But right up to the run-up to this, to the whole unrest there, he started pressing into service lots of civilians. He gave them 5 days of training and a rifle and a uniform and said, you're going to stand tall for Muammar Gaddafi. Well, those folks have melted away. They've not really been engaged in the fight, and they've lost a lot of casualties of those well-trained soldiers. They've taken a lot of casualties there. So his forces are trading pretty badly. I think they're going to try to consolidate, I would guess, if around Sirte, which was his hometown. It's up on the coast between Benghazi and Tripoli. And that's where I think that he'll try to hold out. If he can get there, there's still a lot of belief he's still in Tripoli.
What have we learned about situations like this from experiences in Afghanistan and Iraq to make this not such a tough situation? As the House Intelligence Committee chairman, I know that keeping infrastructure in place, keeping cash in place, keeping that oil industry going there have to be at the top of your agenda.
Oh, absolutely. There's two things there that I think are incredibly important. One is that they do get their own resources flowing. We don't have the money to send them, and we shouldn't be doing it anyway. So we have frozen assets in the billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, that is their money that we ought to start giving back. I mean, we shouldn't write them a big check yet. I mean, it's going to take some time. So make sure that money is being well spent to regroup and reorganize their government in an orderly way and to get the oil running. They were an oil economy before. They're going to be an oil economy again. And they need to have so there's about 9 big pipelines running, not fighting over them, so that they can use those resources to help redevelop themselves. And lastly, we have, this is always a tough time. We learned this through Iraq and Afghanistan, and it wasn't unique to them in our experience after the revolution. We were in a serious depression and almost didn't make it ourselves, that there's going to be some really tough financial times there until we can get these things turned on. And that's why the weapon systems that are there is a national security interest of the United States, as I have said all along. And we need to make sure that stuff is accounted for and secure. And I would do that now, not later, because that stuff becomes a commodity on the black market, and people will pay cash for it, including Al-Qaeda and others who we know have expressed an interest in getting their hands on it. It's important that we make sure that doesn't happen.
And what's this mean for the U.S., what's happening there?
Well, I mean, I think it's you'll have another democratic movement in a Middle East country. I think that is a powerful thing. I think liberty always will triumph, and freedom will always triumph if it's given the opportunity. And that means that people who are passionately anti-U.S. interests, places like Syria, who are under siege, their world just got a little smaller. They just found one less friend in the world who's a dictator. So at the end of the day, that's a good thing. We still have some national security issues we've got to get resolved there, but I think in the whole of it, it can be a positive thing for the United States.
I keep seeing on Fox News as well as in the Wall Street Journal how China has been showing off, flexing its muscle, if you will, with what they've done with their Navy and their Air Force. Are they trying to let the world know that they're a superpower when it comes to their military might?
Well, absolutely. One of the things that you know, they have clearly demonstrated by their more aggressive openness in condemning the United States and how much money we spend, by challenging some of our sea lanes in Asia that had not normally been challenged by our United States Navy. All of those things indicate that they want to be the next superpower, and they believe, they honestly believe, that the United States is in a nation in decline, and they're going to take advantage of it. And that is their own words, their own rhetoric, and that's what we pick up through intelligence sources.
And we owe them a ton of money.
Well, that's part of the problem, and they realize that that's why they were chastising us for spending too much money. We had to send the vice president of the United States over there and say, no, it's everything's okay, please keep lending us money. That's hardly the position to be in for someone who is positioning themselves to be a rival in the world.
Congressman, I get more emails and phone calls for folks wanting me to ask you about the job situation here in the state of Michigan, especially jobs that pay a decent wage. Where are we with creating more jobs for the mid-Michigan area here in the short term?
Yeah, no, and one thing is government isn't going to create jobs in the private sector. But what we can do is allow the private sector to create jobs on their own. And one of the things that has happened, in especially in the last 2 years, think of this. In the last, just since this year, $62 billion in new costs through regulation to businesses, $62 billion. In July, it was almost $10 billion alone, 1 month. So that adds a whole bunch of uncertainty to our business community. So you have, unfortunately, an administration that thinks it's okay to demonize business at every corner. They're bad for doing this, they're bad for doing that, they're bad for doing this. By the way, there are all these new regulations. We're going to raise their taxes. No wonder they're not hiring anybody. They have no idea what an employee that they hire today is going to cost next month, let alone next year. That has got to end. And if we want jobs back in Michigan, we have got to stand up and say, listen, let's have a moratorium on regulations. It's not going to kill us to stop new regulations right now. Tell them that we're not going to raise their taxes, and we're going to create an energy bill that starts lowering energy rates so that we can start pouring local money into local communities. You do those three things, this economy is going to roar. People are going to get back to work. Another government program isn't going to do it. We don't have the money for a new government program, and they have shown clearly, they are highly ineffective.
What's your take on the Tea Party? The many Tea Partiers voted for a lot of conservative Republicans because they wanted to get the fiscal house in order. But I'm sure, as you've seen in the news, some Republicans have come under fire for not being tough enough. What's your take on the Tea Partiers, and are they right?
Well, I think the Tea Party isn't a monolithic homogenous group either, and there's all different sides and spectrums to the Tea Party, but their message, and it really started in 08 with when the president came in and laid out a very aggressive spending agenda, and remember, to increase the debt in those 2 years almost $4 trillion, which is more than all the other presidents combined. I mean, it was a serious change in direction. And it was stifling to the economy, and they saw the spending, they saw the health care bill that is outrageously expensive and now is starting to have an impact on jobs and all of that. And that's what set them off, and they said, we can't do this anymore. And, you know, when you talked about China, one of the things is, in order to do all that, we had to borrow a lot more money from China. And so these were just average people. I've been to some of these Tea Party events. They're average folks. There were moms with two kids. I remember meeting a group of women who were breast cancer survivors who were so mad about the health care bill that they went out and joined and got active in a local Tea Party group because they were mad about the way the government was spending and those things. So, listen, I think that it is a great check on a federal government that is really spending too much money, and it's dangerously spending too much money. And I think that it's a group that people ought to pay attention to and listen to, just like all the other groups out there that have issues at the table. I don't see them as some great evil thing, and I think they're just right now the checkbook conscience of America, and I think that's a good thing.
All right, as we let you go, what's at the top of your agenda for the next couple of weeks, and what do you think Congress will be tackling once you're back in session?
Well, on the jobs front, we have got to tackle this regulation thing. It is, when we talk to local and small businesses and big businesses and manufacturing, it's killing their opportunity to be innovative. We've got to put a stop to that. So we hope to deal with that up front. We hope to have an energy bill that starts taking advantage of domestic resources, keeps the money here, stops sending it overseas. We have got to develop our own energy resources here. We have them. We should develop them, use them, and employ Americans to do it. And those are that's going to be on the top of the agenda. From being the chairman of Intel, you can imagine that that is a job that never slows down. And so we're going to have the authorization bill for all the intelligence agencies up in September. So that's why this week my Democrat counterpart and I were working through the bill to get it ready for that. And that's doesn't feel as important, certainly, as getting people back to work, but it's an incredibly important thing for our national security, so we've been spending some time doing that.
Congressman, I've only got 3 more pages of questions for you, but I know we both have to go. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.